couple of those songs. They're powerful songs. They are songs that if you don't know much of the Bible, there's a couple of them there that, you know, talking about his train filling the temple and all these things, and it puts you in a place where, you know, as you begin to love the Lord and long for him, you know, you begin to realize that God wants the whole lump of dough. He wants the whole lump. And it doesn't work when we hold things back from God. You know, if Jesus held things back, where would we be today? There would be no offering for sin. You know, there would be no healing. There'd be no way through the craziness of the world. And so, you know, I want to encourage you, as Dion said, I'm trying to hear the voice of God. I want to tell you, God's going to speak some things, but, you know, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Because I don't know about you, it's contrary to what the world is saying. And sometimes, even though we're Christians, it's contrary to what we want to do. Ding. Here we go. And so, you know, God wants the whole lump. And you know, he knows best. I don't know about you, but I found that there's a lot of things that I wanted in life. And as I just began to put things to the side, God would come through with things so much better than I ever imagined. You know, if he would have told you from the beginning what was going to happen, you probably would have said no. But then when you get to the end, you say, God, I can't believe how wonderful you are. And how good that you can plan some life and some strategies and, you know, whatever it might be. And so today God wants you to know that, you know, that he loves us. We're useful. One of the things, like I said, we're working on just a little bit is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a powerful thing. We've been born into the body of Christ. And we're going to get into that, not today, but, you know, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Huh? Nor the hand to the feet or the stomach to the hand or whatever it might be. You can't say, I have no need of you, because all parts are necessary. And if the parts aren't functioning, then the body is not healthy. And yet, a body that is, you know, I mean, you know, God give us an amazing ability to fight off disease and bacterias and you name it, the body can heal itself. And so you think about some of these things. What God is trying to do, he says, we are the body of Christ. We are God's hands extended. We are, and it comes to that, we talked a little bit about the willingness that, you know, when we belong to Christ, our eyes belong to him, our ears belong to him, what we look at, what we watch, what we listen to, where we walk, what we do as we speak, it belongs to Christ. And how many know that God knows how to bless those who diligently seek him? So you don't have to chase that, you chase him. And that's when the blessings begin to come, and he knows better than Harley. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that tonight you would help us to understand some more things in our life. Give us some strategies, some things that we can work on. God, give us an ability to believe and to change circumstances and Lord, to do what you'd have us do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praying a little bit, but you know, the Bible says there's wars and there's rumors of wars, right? And you think about war, you know, you think about Syria, you think about these people right now going across the Mediterranean, thousands of them dying, trying to escape war. There's wars all over. There have been wars from the very beginning. And so just like the Bible talks about some of these things, these physical wars that take place and what's happening even in these days that we're present. But as we begin to look in Ephesians chapter 6, we begin to see that there's more than just a physical warfare going on in the world today that, you know, that brings these issues, global issues all over. We begin to see everybody's afraid of this, they're afraid of that. Russia is with Korea, this and that and everything. I mean, all these things are, you know, there's war out there. And yet you know, Paul, he begins to describe that there's an unseen war that is even greater than any physical war that we understand. There's spiritual war. And God wants us to begin to know in our inner man what it takes to begin to fight this battle, this spiritual battle, this one that's unseen. And so, you know, I have to say this, that we're going to read this, but one of the things that I think really bother me in this day that we live in, and we know that a lot of the church has compromised, you know, like Clinton said, I'm looking for a church that's preaching the Word of God. And a lot of churches are to the place right now where, you know, they try to make it look like, you know, being a Christian, you know, all your problems are going to be away. Jesus is going to take care of you. That there's no real battles that you're going to go through life. That God is just going to bless you and fill you and give you whatever. And that's a lie. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there is a spiritual battle. There's spiritual warfare. He says that we can win, and he says we can have victory, but it doesn't say that we're not going to have to fight any kind of fight. It doesn't say that there's never going to be a problem within our life. You know, the life is going to be filled with a lot of things that we have to overcome. And so as we begin to understand what it is, who it is, and begin to realize that, you know, in this war that we're talking about, the spiritual war, if you don't want to fight, if you aren't one that wants to fight or likes to fight, you better learn to fight. And we've said it before, you know, when I was in the war, you didn't have a lot of options. They put you out there, they gave you a gun, and the option is this: either fight, or get killed, or get captured. That's not many options, is it? And so if you don't learn to fight the fight of faith, the good fight of faith, it's a good fight. If you don't learn to fight that fight, what's going to be the end result? You're either going to get killed or you're going to get captured. You're going to be controlled. You're going to be whatever, you know, a slave to, you know, the Bible talks about these things. And so I don't know about you. I want to learn to be able to fight the fight according to what the God says. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read this a little bit, but starting in verse 10, it says, finally, now it talked about other things, but it's saying finally, and so if it's saying finally, we understand that there's something there. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, there's no other way to be strong in this world today other than in the Lord. There's no one that has won the victory of life and death. There's no one that has overcome sin other than Jesus Christ. And when he becomes Lord and he begins to teach us these things, we begin to learn to win the battle. And it goes on, it says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. How many know the devil's got a lot of schemes? And so the full armor of God is something that he says. He said, put on the full armor of God. How many know if you only give God half the lump, what's going to happen to the other half? It's going to get played with. And so he's saying, put on the full armor of God so that you're able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. See, the devil doesn't never quit. He never quit on Jesus. 40 days he's in the wilderness. He went out led by the Spirit, it says, tempted by the devil for 40 days. And when he overcame, you know, and it says that when he overcame, he came back what? In the power of the Holy Spirit. Overcoming gives you the power of God. You see, when you fight that fight, and he fought it with the Word of God. We know that. We understand that. But then it also gives a little detail in there. The devil departed until an opportune time. In other words, it wasn't over, Jesus. He wasn't done trying to discourage him through all these different things. You understand? I mean, you know, his disciples wanting to be the best in the kingdom of God, all these, you know, all these things. And he never let the world discourage him because he knew that the battle was against these spiritual powers and principalities. It never was. Some of the things, it was people that was struggling with these spiritual forces. And so he always was there. It says, now in verse 12, it says this. For our struggle, whose struggle? better put your name in there, Harley, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're talking about a battle that you and I don't even really understand. I mean, the more you study, you kind of get little glimpses of it. You realize that the devil's real. You've gone through a lot of things. But we don't realize all these things that have taken place in the heavenly realm. We don't understand the power that, you know, every being is a spiritual being. And that spiritual being, when that spirit leaves that body's dead. That spirit is not dead. That spirit is more valuable, more alive than anything that we could ever understand. And so when he talks about this spiritual battle in the heavenly places, how many know that the devil's here? Yeah. And so we begin to realize that, you know, when God, he gives us his name, he gives us authority, but he's talking about being able to fight against these principalities and against these powers. In other words, he's talking about a warfare of something that you cannot see and you don't fully understand, but God knows. And if you're willing to use God's weapons of warfare, you can win in this battle. Okay, you follow so far? Amen. It says, therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. How many know that there's a major battle that every person is going to go through? You're not a Christian because you're born in a Christian family. You know, there's no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. Each person is born again individually as they come to that place with Christ and recognize him, what he's done, ask for forgiveness, and to be Lord and Savior. And so we begin to get to that place where God begins to talk about some of these things. And it's really important that when it says, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to stand, it says, stand firm. Okay, it keeps saying that. In other words, you're not going to have any problems. God is just going to bless you. You know, if you put in the offering plate today, God will bless you 100-fold. He might. It's possible. But that's not what God is trying to tell you. God is trying to tell you that we're living in a world where Satan is a fallen being and his enemy is God. He can't get to God. And so what he does is he spends all his time getting to what God loves. That's the only thing that he can do. He can't get to God. And so so God is trying to tell us you are in a battle. And Paul says you have to fight the fight of faith. And so we begin to realize here again that, you know, sooner or later every Christian is going to realize that this life I'm living is not a playground, it's a battlefield. You got that one? I don't know about you. Get married and think it's going to be all rosy. Oh, you know, if I can only get married, all my problems will go away. Ha ha. They just doubled. Because you got yours and hers. But how many know that God is greater, and he has the ability to make two into one? What does that mean? They got to give up the old. Oh, that's hard. It's a battle. And so everything in this life, it becomes this battle of what God wants to do within so that he can bless our life. So a Christian life again. And so, you know, in Romans chapter 12, in verse 21, it says this. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, the battle we are called to overcome is evil. That's the battle. The evil is in the heavenly place. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I got saved, I didn't even know I didn't even know what it was hardly and everything else. And I knew that, you know, I was. I mean, God did something. I'd read the Bible and it would come true. You know, all of a sudden, you know, I had no idea who devil was or the devil could move on people. I had none of these understandings in my mind, but right away God began to show me something. You know, I went to be with my friends. You know, I was going to try to encourage them just a little bit. So, you know, it was when The Exorcist first came out. And, you know, we're going to go to this movie. They asked me, Harley, come with us. And I thought, well, I'm going to go with them and try to just encourage these guys. And so I come there, and, you know, it was amazing because we got within four people of the door, and it was sold out. They had to turn us away. So then I realized that God didn't want me in there. I began to realize there's things God wants, there's things that God doesn't want us to get involved in. God began to show us some things. And so then they said, well, let's go over to the bar where we used to go and play foosball in the back room. You can come in the back room with us, they're telling me. I said, yeah, I can go in the back room. I'll just drink a Coke. So I walk into the, you know, I'm just walking into this bar, and there's all these tables. And as I'm walking to the back room, I've never been in there for long. And this lady, she looks at me, and she's sitting with these two big thugs, and she goes, I don't like that guy. These two guys stood up. Now they're going to pounce me. And I began to realize. I just said, you know, I said, Jesus don't want me here. And I turned and walked out. They couldn't pounce me because of Jesus. But I began to realize, you see, there is a spiritual battle, and the devil has control of a lot of people that we don't understand, a lot of circumstances. He can do a lot of things that don't hit the natural mind. But God begins to teach us his authority. Put on these things. I don't know about you, but you know, we've got a lot of battles. We've got a lot of people that we've been talking to, encouraging. A lot of people going through things they don't understand. And you try to tell them some things. And you know, the Bible talks about the shield of faith, right? What is the shield of faith? Well, it distinguishes the fiery missiles of the devil. Well, what does that mean? I mean, no, the devil can put a thought in someone's mind. As I walked in that place, the devil shot into that girl's mind, get that guy. I mean, you know, it was the devil against me. She didn't have any clue what she was doing. She never seen me in her life before. But the devil wanted to kind of put a thumping, but what it did, it didn't put a thumping on me. It got me to realize that everything that God said is real, and I need to find out who Jesus is. But, you know, the shield of faith, you know, I got to tell a story because I've told it, but I need to tell it again because, you know, when I was trying to come up in the things of God, I had a heart for praying. I wanted to minister to people. God was doing things. People were getting saved. And I would come into the church 45 minutes before the church would start. I'd come in, I'd sit down, I'd pray. And I'd say, God, if there's anybody in here that needs prayer, let me know. And so I'd be talking to somebody. I'd be sitting like right just here, like in the pew, and I'd be talking to these guys. And all of a sudden, some gal would walk in. You know, and all I did is say, something said, look. And I turned, I looked. And that's all I did. And I turned around and I started talking again. And the next thing in my mind is, shame on you. You looked. Right in church, you looked at her. You're not a Christian. If you can't make it in church, how will you ever make it out there? And man, I'll tell you what, I went out of there feeling bad. I felt like I failed. I looked at somebody. And all of a sudden, I get over that. I go to Bible school these next few days. I come back on the next meeting, and I'm there 45 minutes early, and sure enough, I'm talking to somebody again. Someone walking over there. And something said, and I'm used to something saying to my brain, look, and I turned around, I looked, and boy, that's all it takes. Someone's strutting their stuff. And I turned around, I started talking. What a hypocrite in church. You'll never make it. You're not a Christian. I'll tell you what, I put my head down, stopped talking. I couldn't even hardly listen to the message anymore. I felt like a failure. I felt like God. And the next time I come to the church, I'm trying to get built up, and same thing. I'm talking to someone. Someone walked in strutting their stuff, and the devil said, look. I turned around and I looked. The devil said, shame on you. I said, no, devil, shame on you. You told me to look. It wasn't me looking, it wasn't me wanting, it wasn't me anything, but the devil was trying to control my mind. He had fiery missiles that he was condemning me and telling me of who I am and who I'll never be and all these things, and I was swallowing all the crap from the pit of hell. I didn't realize that what is this fiery thing. You know, I mean, you get somebody, they come in, they want counseling. Oh, brother, things are just so terrible and all these things. And, you know, this guy is just railing on me. Two, three times he comes in, just same old guy, just all beat up. I can't ever make it. And so I asked him, I said, you know the Bible talks about the shield of faith, the armor of God? Yeah, I said, picture yourself right now. I said, where's your shield and where's your sword? They're dragon. They're not up there distinguishing anything. They're not getting rid of the fiery missiles of the enemy. They're not doing anything. You're not using the sword of the Spirit against the powers of hell. The fight, you're losing. You're losing the fight in your mind. You're losing the battles of that, because the battle is so real that God wants us to begin to understand. I got to move on from here just a little bit, but, you know, we see that the Bible talks about, you know, the weapons of our warfare. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to start in verse 3, but it says, for though we walk in the flesh, I mean, no, we're all in the flesh, we got flesh, we're walking, we're breathing, we're eating, we had a good meal, we do not war according to the flesh. What? We do not what? War. If you don't understand you are in a war, you've already lost. You've already lost to a power of hell that's been here for thousands of years, is wiser than any human being. And if you don't use the wisdom from God and the spiritual powers from God and understand armor and things that you put on, you see, the helmet of salvation is supposed to protect you from some of that stuff. God saved me. Oh, you're no good. You're no good. You know, I mean, you mess with crystals. You're no good. God saved me. He put on the helmet of salvation. We begin to get rid of these things because these are real battles. Every day the enemy's there. He walks the whole earth seeking whom he may devour. Huh? And so I don't know about you. I don't want to be devoured. I don't want to be one of those things that says war according to the flesh. It says, verse 4, wonderful verse, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now, I don't know about you, he's talking about weapons that we do not have in our hand. They're not physical weapons. They are spiritual weapons. And these weapons are divinely powerful. Man, I'm telling you what. You know, I can tell you stories. You know, we've been arrested. The whole Bible school's in jail. We're in jail, and they're telling us that, you know, you got to leave the country, this and that, and all these different things. And, you know, and all of a sudden the Lord say, tell them to do whatever you think you can. Well, I mean, the guy's ahead of 5 states in another country, and I just broke the law. Finally, I did it. I said, do whatever you think you can. I said, we ain't hiding nothing. I'll tell you what, long story short, God made that guy my friend. He let us go. But if I wouldn't have said that, I don't know, I'd have never gotten to finish what we were doing. We never got to see the power of God begin to do all the things, the 900 churches, the Bible schools, the children's homes, all these different things in that country. But you begin to realize that God is all-powerful. There's a spiritual force that we have, the name of Jesus. We have these things, and he wants us to fight this fight accordingly. It's divinely powerful, it says. Amen? So now, it says, we are. Who is? All right, here we go now. You better put yourself in here. I can't just put Harley in here. Harley needs to be here. We are destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, how many know that most people are going through problems right here? The Bible says they always went astray in their mind first. Where is the biggest battle going on? Right here. I've been trying to tell a few people, you can't think your problems away. It don't work. When we think too hard, it's called speculation, and it is an enemy of faith. It destroys faith. Jesus said, I love you. You are my child. I made a way for you. Now, that doesn't change when I made a mistake. Doesn't change. But what it does is the enemy tries to use these things. And if we don't use the weapons of our warfare and the armor of God, you won't be able to stand against anything that the devil has. I don't know. And so, I mean, I can't stand in my strength. You know, sometimes I think, well, you know, God, you've taught me a lot of things. I can build a house. I can do all these things. But I want to tell you, I can't succeed in life without Jesus. Without the wisdom of God, without the love of God, I can't do nothing. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, you know, I've said it before, but you can have somebody out there selling their body on the street to get drugs. There go I, but the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God teaching you the weapons of warfare and actually teaching you how to use them, we would still be caught. You know, and so when we live in the world, the Bible says we don't wage war according to the world. So if you are, stop. If you're trying to think your way through things, no, just love God, trust God, try to hear his voice for the next step. But never allow the enemy to bring condemnation to the point where you have no hope or no way, because, you know, hope is our anchor. And so we begin to see some of these things that, you know, this is a warfare, and he's telling that these weapons we fight, they're not of the world. Well, you know, I think I ruined this and this and that. And no, I tell you what, God is able to make stones raise up and praise him. I don't know about you, but you know, there's nothing that God cannot do. And there's nothing he won't do for those who are sold out for God. I really believe that. And so we see this divine power. It's for the destruction of strongholds. You know that most people, their biggest stronghold is their mind. That's where the battle has to be destroyed. You know, well, God, you know, I know that, you know, Dion, he has a good little word and testimony, but, you know, I don't know about me. Well, I don't. Get up and walk against fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Love stands up and testifies to Jesus. You know, begin to see that Jesus is going to use you no matter whether you're afraid or not. And that the power of God doesn't change just because we have some little emotion of fear within our life. God's spirit is stronger than anything in the flesh. And so we go on from there, you know. And so he demolishes these strongholds, these spiritual weapons. They demolish these strongholds. And, you know, any argument, how many know that half the time we're arguing with ourselves, aren't we? Huh? It destroys these arguments. And it begins to let us know that, you know, everything that sets up against the knowledge of God. Hey, I don't care. Has anyone in here, you know, I mean, we know the prophet. We know David. And the prophet comes to David and he says, there is a man that has one sheep and there's a man that has thousands. And this man that had thousands took and killed the man's one sheep that he loved. He said, what should we do with that man? Kill him. That man is you, David. And God loved him and forgave him. I mean, what have you done that God cannot forgive you? Huh? When you look at the Bible and the love of Jesus, when you know our mind tells us one thing and the world tells us one thing, and you begin to go down these things, but God tells you, I love you. I want you to become a victor. I want you to become kings and priests. This is my desire for you, that you become useful for the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean that, you know, that you're just going to be some, you know, buddy that stands there and every minute of every day you're out there shouting the things of God. But God is going to bless you. And we see that, you know, it takes something that all these things are going to be destroyed, these speculations, these lofty things. It says that they're going to be destroyed. And I want to read verse 6 to you. It says, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. I want to tell you, stinking thinking is the problem. When we think too highly of some of the crazy things that the devil's telling us about ourselves and about our past and who we are, what we can and what we can't do, you know, I don't know about you, when you're ready to admit that you're not going to swallow all these dumb lies from the devil, then your obedience is complete. You understand that God loves us, and he's able to take the simple things of this world to confound the wise. That's who God says he is. And you know, I don't know about you, I fit that category. I'm so simple it stinks. And yet God can do things just simply because you're willing to use the weapons that he gave you. It's amazing what God wants to do. God wants to go into the prison. Do you want to go? God will do some things in your life and through your life as you begin to be obedient in some of these things. Now, we're going to go on from there, but, you know, when we're ready, you know, once our obedience is complete, you know, then we're going to begin to do this. And so, you know, what I come to this conclusion that, you know, we talk about destroying speculation, every lofty thing. Our thoughts can be our worst enemy. And a lot of people don't understand that, and they keep thinking, and they keep thinking and thinking and thinking, well, you know, I was up all night, and, you know, Pastor, can I, you know, it's, you know, Pastor loves you, I'm going to encourage you, but I want to tell you, most of those all-nighters are stinking thinking. You can't think your way into faith. You've got to trust God. There's no other way. It's so simple that it's too hard to understand. Trust God. But I did mistakes. Trust God. Well, it's been time. Trust God. You know, you think about some of these things. You know, the highly educated have the hardest time with the things of the kingdom of God. And so God wants us to begin to realize that, you know, the battlefield, you know, the book Joyce Meyer's The Battlefield of the Mind, the battlefield is our mind. That's the biggest part of the battle. It is our mind. And, you know, as we begin to look at this, you know, your thoughts become like roots that begin to bring words and actions. They begin to grow. You understand? Our thoughts begin to grow, and they begin to bring words, and they begin to bring actions. And so God wants us to begin to understand that the devil sets up strongholds in our life. As we begin to grow, I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of shortcomings in my life. And so, you know, the devil tries to set up a lot of different strongholds in your mind that, you know, well, you know, you're just not going to quite be what it's going to take. I want to tell you, maybe I ain't, but God is. I'm going to let God be God. And so, you know, it becomes this thing that each person is engaged in involved in an individual battle. You understand that? You know, and so we begin to get to this place where our mind becomes this daily thing, and it has to begin to learn to resist temptation and wrong thinking. If you can't do that, the thinking is going to go on, and it's going to bring words, and it's going to bring actions. Well, I just can't do it. It's hard. Does that mean that all things are not possible with God? You know what I mean? See, God is not a liar. We might be a liar. We might be believing a lie, but God is not a liar. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let God strengthen you. And again, try to get outside of your mind, because my mind doesn't do me favors a lot of time. We'll share some of that about the body of Christ. You know, some of the things I've thought in my mind and I've said. It wasn't God. And we don't win in these battles when we go contrary. So he wants us to resist temptation and wrong thoughts and take everything captive to what? The obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ. You know, we see the world has a lot of views, doesn't it? The world's view right now is really sick. And, you know, we see that Paul, he actively engaged in ministering against the philosophies of the world. I mean, everywhere he went, you know, he began to realize that the greatest message is the message of Christ and the obedience of Christ. It is a game changer. It is a life changer. It is, I don't know, a culture changer. And when we were in St. Louis, 95% black church we were pastoring. And all the white people were in there were working for the church. We got to believe God changed that. At least got to be where 20% white. And the church was doing 85% of the work after that. Didn't have to bring people in because the church was meant to do the work. The people there were meant to love one another and come up in the giftings of God and fight these battles for one another and be that family for one another. But, you know, God, he begins to show us that, you know, we need to take these things captive, but he shows us, you know, about these worldviews and how God wants us to bring these worldviews into this place where, I don't know about you, but into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We're not there. I mean, you know, everybody overlooks all this stuff. Everybody, I mean, you know, people will be sitting there just talking nonsense to a Christian, and the Christian won't even say, that ain't God. They'll just, oh, okay, and they walk away. But God's example is bringing Christ into this thing and fighting this fight and bringing society back, not just changing a life, but changing a neighborhood, changing a family, changing a society, changing a culture. Man, I've seen India change like you wouldn't believe in the days that, I mean, untouchables were untouchable when we came there. You couldn't leave that class. Today, that's all changed. In India, you can be something now. There is such a thing called middle class. And you know, what happened is Christians begin to come in and this thing that if you had a Christian name, you couldn't have any kind of a good job or a government job. So people would call themselves all these different names. But they begin to say, hey, I'm a Christian. And they begin to fight the fight. And I want to tell you that the Christianity part of it is what began to bless India and make it the second fastest growing economy in the world. They were bringing Christ in. They were bringing some things in. It was changing culture. How do we change philosophies of the world? Bringing them into obedience of Christ. See, I don't know about you, but this is a major war. It isn't some just simple little thing. The tools of our trade. You know, we look at verses 7. I want to read verses 7 and 8 real quick. It says, you are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is in Christ, let him consider this again within him, that just as he is in Christ, so also are we. For if even I am boasting whatever further about our authority, which the Lord gave for the building of you up. How many know God gives authority for the building up and not for the destroying you? I will not be put to shame. And so he was using the authority of God in these things. He was changing culture and society. I mean, these people were into every kind of thing you can think of. And he was going in there and he was bringing things into the obedience of Christ and it was changing things. And so the tools of the trade in the church today, it's not something that we market. You understand, the weapons of our warfare aren't something that we market or manipulate people with. They're something that we use to bring people into the obedience of Christ. You know, I think about some of these things, you know, and I think it begins to demolish the entire ability of a culture to destroy a nation if we would bring in the things of God. And honestly, what it did at one time, we're the biggest nation bringing missionaries around the world, and I don't think it has to always be over just because the enemy is alive. And so these tools, I don't know, Paul, he used them to warped philosophies. They were warped. I mean, the philosophies today, you can be whatever you want to be. Warped. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, and so you think about some of these things, and Christians have sat on the side, and you know, he wants us to tear down barriers, and he wants us to begin to erect truth. I begin to see more and more. I don't know about you, but these tools are, they're ready. They're handmade for the clearing of these things. See, God gave us these tools that can clear these things. They're spiritual warfares. It's in the air. We got to learn to fight it. We got to learn to do these things. And the biggest part is, oh, I don't know, God might be calling him, but he ain't calling me. Oh, yes, he is. God is bringing you into a place where you're going to be more valuable than you could ever imagine. We look at these things again in verses. I want to read verses 3 in that real quick. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful, the destruction of fortresses. For we are destroying speculation, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive through obedience of Christ. These tools bring things into, they bring things into obedience and into maturity. This is the way we mature ourselves. This is the way we help somebody mature in the things of God. We bring these things in. And so, you know, we get down to verse 14. It says this. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you. For we were the first to come, even as far as you in the gospel of Christ. You see, the whole message is Christ. A message, ministry down there and different ones. You know, some of these ministries, I like what they say, that, you know, the name of their ministry is Jesus Is. That's a good name. Jesus Is. He is exactly what we need. And so we think about that. The whole message is Jesus. Jesus is. And then we realize that Jesus has the ability to change a culture, and that he has a message for the world. He came to save the world and to change it. And I don't know about you, but God wants us to be world changers. And so, you know, I have to say this, because this is where I want to kind of bring things right to a conclusion on this. But, you know, I was reading something, and I run across it again. And, you know, as I read it this morning, it really hit me. This one guy was sharing a message about during COVID. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not against people having, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends. I'm against sin, you understand? But to have relationships and maybe to someday get married, I'm not against these things. But this one particular dating thing during COVID in the UK, it was advertising all around. And I think they got 40,000 new people in the first 2 months. 40,000 new people, and their whole thing was, life is short, have an affair. Now, here's where it comes to reality, okay? No meaningful relationship is of any value without faithfulness. And the enemy steals faithfulness from the body of Christ. You know, if you're not faithful with your wife, what good is that relationship? And you think about that. If you want a real relationship with your kids, are you faithful? Have you ever had a friend or somebody at work that, you know, they've come to you and they, you know, oh, yeah, let's do this, and I got that, and I'm going to come, and we're going to do this, and they never show up. They never do anything that they say, and so everything they say is of no value for you. You know, they're like, they're not real. They're not somebody that's going to change your life. There's no faithfulness in what they said. There's no commitment in what they said. And so you think about any meaningful relationship, whether it's at work or at church. You know, one of the biggest enemies of the church today is that God is trying to raise up a body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. And when the body's strong, I don't know about you, but I've come home and I had a brother that he loved me and he helped me, and I mean I had a family that, you know, maybe there, but there are some really good things there. And you know, we you know, if they wouldn't have been there, my life would have been much harder. You understand? And in the church, we got everybody is so scattered. They're scattered into every kind of thing. Well, you know, I got to be there, and you know, there's a special thing over there, and I got to be over there, and I got to be over there, and I got to be over there. Where's the body? Where's the faithfulness? I'm part of Redemption Ministry. Okay, that doesn't mean you can't go do something special. That don't mean that you can't go on vacation. But that doesn't mean that every little thing. See, faithfulness is what every meaningful relationship requires. And in order to raise up leadership, we can't raise up leadership if they ain't here. We can't raise up the next generation. That's their battlefield out there. But if they've got a million other things to do, that's their battlefield out there. But this, you know, their body must be something different. You understand? And so we need to learn that, you know, in this battle, what's important? You know, I got to hear the voice of God. I understand that. What's important, the body of Christ, is that which is supposed to be able to minister life. I don't know about you, but I'd love to see the body of Christ minister in such a way they don't need Harley. They got enough of Jesus where, I'm telling you what, people come in and somebody's on them. Somebody's loving on them. Somebody's ministering to them. And God is changing not just one, but he's bringing them into the jails. They got a place to go after they get out of the jail. They got a family to be a part of. They got a purpose to live for. God, when you talk about a war, how do I fight this battle, God? Now, I'm not going to sit there and think and think and think and think. I'm going to go to the Word of God. I'm going to use the sword. And when the devil convicts me and tells me all these things, and you know, because we got some great people. And I think things are growing. But I think we need to begin to make some decisions on what we're going to do as a future of a body of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. But one thing we know is God loves us. Amen? And we're not going to be the same tomorrow. And God is big enough that he can show us what to do. Just like Dion said, I'm trying to hear the voice of God. And God is there to speak to us. Amen? Anybody here that feels useless, come forward. We're going to pray for you. Because, yeah, I'll tell you what. There ain't anybody here that God loves someone less than anyone else. Is that? He loves us all. And he says, I have a place for you. And I have a purpose for you. Amen. Went a long time. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. God, help us, God, to realize that it is a war. And God, we don't want to use natural things to fight this war. We need to begin to realize that there's spiritual things that you've given us. And we need to take them on. And God, in the name of Jesus, let us win in this battle in our mind. In Jesus' name, amen.